The Security of the Saved. That's our series that we're continuing in week two. And what I wanted to do through this was take the kind of the four biggest scriptures, and then other scriptures will kind of piggyback on those. But those four main big scriptures that are used often to say you can lose your salvation. And the reason I want to do this is because I think it's so important to have a full understanding of the gospel and to understand that the gospel and salvation is not upon my shoulders and your shoulders. That we can be justified by what God has done and become children of God. The old is gone, the new has come, and we can be in right relationship with God. And then because of sin or this or that, if we can fall away, then eternal life is not eternal. And I really believe, guys, this is a base. This is the foundation of the gospel. This is what we build from, that it's God's work. It's Christ's work. And we build on what he's done. And our shoulders were never meant to carry the weight of salvation, either salvation justification or salvation sanctification. We can't do it. We can't do it. Let's dive in here as we come to the scripture. The scripture is often used to show that salvation once gained, that it can be lost, it can be taken away. But I really believe that if we're going to have the right understanding of Hebrews 6:1-6, the context is key to having the right understanding. We've got to understand what's going on. And in Hebrews 5:1-5, it's talking about Christ as our high priest and what that means. And then in Hebrews 5:6-10, he's the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Jesus is the high priest for Christians, and he was called by God, fully experienced our humanity, knows and sympathizes with our weaknesses, and provides access to God. And he gave himself as a sacrifice. And guys, he wasn't in the line. He wasn't of Judah, of the tribe of Judah. He wasn't of the priestly tribe of Levi. He was of Judah. He wasn't of Levi. And what that means is a significance. He's in the order of a new priest of in the order of Melchizedek, and he couldn't follow the traditional priestly line, because he's greater than that. Christ's priesthood is superior. And that the Old Testament way of doing things is no longer adequate as Christ comes in. And he comes in to do something once and for all. A new order, a new way, a new model. A savior. Christ is our permanent high priest who continually intercedes for us at God's throne of grace. And here we're going to see what that means. Hebrews 4:14-16, just a little bit more background. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with what? With confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. He is willing and completely able to save us. A priest forever. A priest forever. Okay, let's hit it. Hebrews 6:1-6, starting in the first three verses. Let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. Guys, the answer for immaturity We're given it here. We're given it. We build on the elementary teachings as spiritual foundations, and Christ is that foundation. And there's three areas that are mentioned here. The first is salvation, repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. We don't need to repent of salvation again and again. Once is enough. Because let me ask you this. How powerful would God be that if he comes and dies on the cross and paid the price for our sins and provided a way to conquer death and to conquer sin, and we come to him and everything's great, and then we sin, and it's a really bad sin, and so we're walking away a bit, and our fellowship is, and we die and while our fellowship isn't right with God. We don't get to go to heaven because my sin is greater than God's grace, even in salvation, even in right relationship with Jesus. Is once enough? Every time that we have a really big sin, or every time we're out of fellowship with God, do we need to put Jesus back up on the cross? He died once and for all. One of the things I was talking with Jim about this week that hit me in our conversation was, in the Old Testament, if the priest who is sinful can shed blood of an animal, and it's good for a whole year. Do you think Jesus' blood that shed, the perfect sacrifice, is greater than that? Because maybe you only go 2 months and you start walking out of fellowship with God for a little while. Do you think the sacrifice of Christ is greater than the sacrifice of animals in the Old Testament? I believe so. I believe that sacrifice meant something, and it meant something really significant. That eternal life is not just a nice little thing that we say, but it means eternal, forever. Salvation, repentance, and faith. The second area that we see here is the practices, the washing, the rituals. It's going over these basic teachings. And then our final state, the resurrection, God's judgment. And the readers at this time, we see, had focused on Old Testament laws. They were looking at the do's and don'ts and were regarding the works of Christ less and less. And that's when we come into the last three verses, which are the verses that really are used to challenge salvation being once and for all. Starting in verse 4. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of God, of the Word of God, and the power of the coming age, and who have fallen away to be brought back to repentance, to their loss. They are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Yeah. Taken out of context, we can make this verse say too much. It can become dangerous. The wrong understanding, I fully believe, is if a Christian has fallen away, guys, if a Christian has fallen away, they can never repent again. And they are worse off than before. So guess what, guys? It's dangerous to get saved with this mindset. Because if you get saved and then you are out of fellowship for a while, what happens? You're falling away. And the weight of that is on you. I'm not talking about knowing about God and going to church and doing nice things and trying to jump through the hoops of the religion of Christianity. I'm talking about coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And then, has anybody here who is a believer and has been a believer for a long time, has anybody ever struggled in your faith? I know I have. Has anybody ever had times where you had doubts, where you had concerns, where your faith was weak, where you looked and, why, God, where are you? I got to tell you, sometimes those hit at hard times, some of those times those hit at good times. As you guys, most of you know, my mom passed away on Friday, and she went to be with the Lord. Praise God, she knows Jesus, and it's not goodbye. But it's still hard for all of us. I didn't know how I was going to respond. Up till about a week and a half ago, I was so impressed with my ability to stay separate from my emotions. And I was thinking, okay, I know where she's going. I know all these things. And I was so thankful. Now, I haven't been questioning my faith this time. For me, during this time, right, I've been just leaning hard on Christ. But I've been confused. I've been hurting. And there have been many other times in the past where if it had happened at that time in my walk with the Lord, it would have shook me and shook my faith. I got to, after the elders' meeting here on Thursday night, I got to go spend the night with my mom on Thursday night, and I was up talking with her and reading to her till about 4 in the morning. And then I slept and for a little while, and then woke up and was talking with her and sharing with her, and it was like she was protecting her son for one last time. She didn't want me to be present, and so I went to the restroom for a moment, and when I came back, she was with the Lord. It was like her last act of protecting her son. Guys, there are things in this world that shake us. Thank you so much for your prayers. I've needed them. I've needed them desperately. She is a wonderful woman who loved the Lord. And all of her sons and all of her grandchildren know Jesus. And this is from a family through the Shorak, through my dad's, that nobody knew. That nobody knew. Because of her faith, things have changed. Our faith makes a difference, and it's Christ in us. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I'm no longer alive in Christ. Christ is in me. So do you think Christ can be taken out of me because I'm going through a hard time, because I'm out of fellowship with God? Let's break this down a little bit. I don't believe that those who believe can fall away and that their fate is worse than a non-believer. That really limits God's power. And I believe God is powerful. We were singing about it this morning, weren't we? Mighty is our God. We were singing about it. And these words that are used here, these are not vague words. Words like enlightened, which is salvation, and tasted the gift, the heavenly gift, dealing with salvation. So we know that the writer is talking about who? He's talking about, because there's certain teachings that will try and say, well, they're not. It's not really talking about Christians. Yes, it is. It's talking about believers. These are people that are believers that's referring to. And so now let's focus on what's meant here in 4:6 by falling away. Falling away and renewing to repentance. The context is key. And it's, remember, what is the subject that we're dealing with? The preceding chapters, what it's all talking about? It's talking about something that's really covered more in Hebrews than anywhere else, which is what? Christ, high priest, the work of the high priest. That he is our high priest. And if we look at the words fallen away, the same term is used in Galatians. And as it's used in Galatians 6:1, it means to fall into sin. And Hebrews says it's impossible under this condition to renew, to be brought back, the person again to repentance. Guys, think about this. To renew means to make new again, as if the person could become what? Old. What does 2 Corinthians 5:17 say? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has what? Gone. The old is gone. The new is here. And to renew, to be brought back, to the person, it can't be brought back into repentance again. Why? We cannot become old again and then made new. It's not talking about you were going to lose it. It's saying, guys, you can't be made old in the first place. You can't be made old and then be made new again because you're already new. And that can't be taken away. And so it's important here to understand that it's not saying we can lose it. It's saying we can't. Why? Because we can't go back to that old state. The first renewal is both complete and permanent. Christ doesn't have to go back on the cross. We don't need to keep asking for God to be our Savior again and again because we keep falling out of faith. Eternal life isn't something that we can lose, and, well, it's not really eternal. It is eternal. And God is greater. Now, notice that if this is not true, if what we're talking about here isn't true, our salvation isn't permanent. What does that say about our Savior? Christ's death, his sacrifice, isn't even of the same value as the animals that were sacrificed. Our security doesn't depend upon our faithfulness and power, but it depends on God's faithfulness and his power and our being made new in him. If the blood of I want to put it this way. Let's take a scripture, Romans 8, 31 through 39. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Whom who has chosen? Whom God has chosen. Guys, do we have free will? Yes. Is God sovereign? Yes. Do I fully understand that? No. But Scripture says both. We know that God is sovereign. We know that we have free will in his sovereignty. But I can't fully define it and explain it. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Whew. Guys, there's good news. You don't have to carry the burden of salvation. Guys, you don't have to jump through the hoops. And I know the fear for so many in this teaching is that, you know what, won't this give us a license to sin? But I don't believe it for a moment. Because it's not what we can get away with. With true salvation comes what? The old is gone, the new. We are new in Christ. And with that, we have a new what? A new identity, a new desire that comes from our new identity. Will we struggle with the sins of old? Yes. And praise God for the struggle, because before we sinned and we didn't struggle. But what does it mean to us? What does this mean to us? This means that there's freedom. This means that when, let's take Peter. Three times he denied Christ, right? Did God say, we're done. I'm done with you. When Peter came back to Jesus, what does Jesus say? Do you remember? He says it three times. Feed. What's that? Feed my sheep. Hey, Peter, you still have ministry here. Peter, we've been out of fellowship. Guess what? I've got plans for you. What? Peter's back and he's in the presence of Christ. And man, think of those words of being accepted, of knowing that he's okay. Guys, what is it that causes, I want to ask this, and I want to make it personal. Where is it in your life? What is it that you've gone through that has caused you at times to question your salvation? Where are the times where the enemy attacked and brought the lie that salvation was on your shoulders and not on those of Christ? That it was about your blood being shed through effort rather than the shed blood of Jesus on the cross and the raising again from the dead and the ascending to prepare a place for us and the conquering death and sin. My encouragement today, this evening, sometime in the next week, I'd encourage you to do it sooner rather than later. Claim truth and victory in Christ in these areas where the enemy has had a hold on you to bring defeat and discouragement. If you truly know Jesus Christ, if you've made him your Lord and Savior, if you believe, and yet you've had times where the enemy has come and just brought doubt and discouragement, go back and pray through it, because sometimes he tends to go through the same old doors, doesn't he? If something works, he's a schemer. And if something works, he's gonna keep going. He's got the blocking all picked out. If it works, run it again. Run it again. But we can bring the defense, which is the truth of Christ and who we are. And the truth of what Jesus did, and that it's enough. Do you believe Jesus' death on the cross is enough? Do you believe? And if you've received him, what does it say? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing, not even death. Neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither present nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in what? In all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Our Lord. I want to end with this. This promise is not for you if you are outside of faith. And that breaks my heart. That breaks my heart, because We need to be in Christ. We need to believe in Jesus and what he's done to experience the being made new. And I don't know where all of you stand. I know where most of you stand. I don't know where all of you stand. But it's more than religion. It's more than the do's and don'ts of Christianity. Guys, it's so much more. And if your understanding of what Christianity is about trying to be good and good enough, you're missing the gospel. Because we've been talking about the gospel. It's the work of Christ. The gospel means none of us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, none of us, not one in this room, not one on this world, are able to make ourselves right by good behavior. Because the only thing that God can accept is perfect holiness. That's it. And we missed it by a mile. And then some. But when we come to faith in Jesus, now his righteousness becomes our righteousness. And we are sealed in Christ with the royal seal from our Father. It's the royal seal that says anyone who breaks this seal that it's not given for shall be killed. It's all-powerful seal. And we are sealed with the ring of the King of Heaven in Christ. Man, and that's good news. That is good news. So when the enemy comes, and I promise you he will, and especially after a message like this, there are going to be more attacks. As we go through this series, be ready, because the enemy will not give up ground without a fight. And if he's had victory in your life with a false gospel, with a partial gospel, with a false understanding that I can lose it, that it's based on me, that yes, sanctification is Christ, but or justification is Christ, but sanctification, that's on me. That's coming to faith is about Jesus, but walking in faith is mine. No, it's not. We have a sovereign God who's involved in every process, in the calling, in the bringing, in the walking with. We have a heavenly Father who says to his sons and daughters when they sin, when they say to Dad, I want my inheritance now. I want it now. And break fellowship with God and come to their senses and come. Where was the Father the whole time? Waiting for his son to come home. The son thinks he's going to come back as a servant, and the father says, no, no, let me remind you. Here's the ring. Here's the robe. You're the son. But I don't deserve it. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's about me. And we can rest in that. That's beautiful. And guys, that's the gospel. That means we get to be his for eternity, and nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Eternal life is eternal, and it's powerful. And we can't go back to that old place of being old again. What does Hebrews 6 say? You can't do it. You can't go back to that place. It doesn't work. You can't go back to being old and then being made anew again. Guys, spend some time tonight, this week, going through where has the enemy had victory in lies. Claim the truth in Christ. Stand on what Christ has done. Stand on the right understanding of who Christ is and the fullness and the power of the gospel. What a mighty God we serve, who is greater than my sin, Who is greater than my turning my back on God in fellowship? Who is greater than the junk that I go through? Who's greater than death? I tell you, to have a knowledge of where you stand. I loved it that my mom got to the place where she was ready to go. Because she was going home. It's hard on the family. But think where my mom is. Awesome. Awesome. That's where my hope stands. And I want that for each one of you. I want that for this community. We want that for those in our lives. And sometimes, guys, the hard part is we don't get to make the decisions for others. But we can share the gospel. We can give the truth. We can give the truth in love. And then we can do this. We can rest in one thing, that God does not make mistakes. He will not make a mistake. He will take everything into account and make the right decision. And we might not know what that right decision is. We might even go to our deathbeds and be surprised to see who's in heaven one day. But I know this, Christ doesn't make mistakes. And it's him who decides. And it's forever. And eternal life is eternal. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much that we can have a peace that surpasses all understanding. The depth of what that means. Lord, thank you that salvation is your work, both the justification and the sanctification, and that you are greater. That you are greater, and that we are made new. The old is gone, the new has come. Father, honestly, sometimes it doesn't feel so much like the old is gone. Sometimes those lies become a part of our experience again. And Father, when that happens, we want to repent, and we choose to repent of our sin. Because we're out of fellowship, not out of sonship or daughtership, but we're out of fellowship with you from our side to you with our sin. Thank you, Lord, that you don't stop being our Father, that we get to come home. And like Peter, we keep getting forgiven. Like the prodigal son, we don't have to come home as a servant, but as your child. Father, I pray that freedom, as we go through this series, Lord, that there would be freedom gained in the lives of your believers. That there would be joy, that the fruit of the Spirit would be experienced in new ways because of the truth of your word. Lord, that we would experience truth and love and joy and peace in new depths because we're walking forward in the gospel, that it's dependent on you. And we're no longer carrying any of that load and that baggage. It's gonna weigh us down if we try to carry it. And the enemy is bringing that lie that it's up to us. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Lord Jesus, you said those words. We trust you in them. We pray for salvation for those who don't know you. We pray for not just Christianity, but faith in Jesus Christ. Not just religious activity. And Lord, for each believer here, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would bring a lightness of step, a joy in the peace of being reminded once again that it's in your hands and not ours. Lord, thank you that we don't have to do the heavy lifting. Father, we love you back. We trust you. We trust you to do what we can't do. And we love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.